May the Lord help us to commence our service this morning by singing hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
May it please the Lord to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls. Let us turn to the Acts of the Apostles and we'll read chapter 2. The Acts of the Apostles and reading chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned in darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word and help us all now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever blessed, eternal, most gracious Lord God, we come to that one who we know is the Almighty God, the one who does not change, the one who created all things, and that one who has said he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so, Lord, we are very thankful that we can approach unto the majesty on high, even this morning, in prayer, as we come through our great and glorious intercessor and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we're thankful then that it is our wonderful favor to be able to pray unto the great God of heaven and earth. And Lord, we do earnestly seek that thou would hear our prayers. Lord, all those prayers which we trust have gone up to thee today for the blessing of the Lord. Do grant there may be answers, Lord, blessed answers, so that souls may be blessed today. We pray, Lord, therefore, our meeting in this way, Lord, may not be in vain, but but Lord, it may be for our soul's eternal good, and indeed for the honour and glory of our great and glorious God. Oh Lord, we're thankful that we have the facility to come together through this internet means. And Lord, we would be thankful for it. And Lord, we would not despise it. But Lord, thou hast in thy infinite mercy provided us for us in this time of shutdown. Oh Lord, we realize that thy hand has gone out and clearly shown in this plague which has taken place and possessed the whole world. And Lord, we pray that each of us may recognize and realize that these things haven't come by chance, but Lord, in accordance with thy divine will and purpose, we find ourselves in the midst of this situation. And Lord, we know not what thy purpose is. We know not what the end will be. But Lord, we would come committing ourselves unto thee. But Lord, we're very thankful to know thou dost know the end from the beginning. And also, we also know, Lord, the truth of thy gracious word, which tells us, as the apostle said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so therefore, gracious God, may we be able to recognize and trace out thy good hand upon us individually. Oh Lord, we seek that we may know what it is to be graciously affected by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, let us not just pass these things off. Lord, may we all take these things personally, and then also take these things as a nation, and also take these things as the world. Oh Lord, we pray that through this plague, if it could be thy will, there may be much good. Lord, we know that we don't deserve it. We realize, Lord, thy patience has been lengthened out for many years now upon the nations of the world. And Lord, we see things getting progressively worse and worse. Lord, men and women, boys and girls, walking farther from God. And Lord, we see that thou dost bring such things to bear. But we pray, Lord, they may indeed prove to be for the eternal good of many souls. Oh Lord, graciously hear us then when we pray for these things. We see there may be a proper and a right humbling. Lord, we think of those words to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh Lord, that thou would indeed show forth thy praise and show forth thy great and glorious work. And so, Lord, we come this morning very grateful that we're able to gather in this way. And Lord, we would be mindful that this day in our calendar we remember as that day of Pentecost. And Lord, as we read that chapter in the Acts of the Apostles this morning, oh Lord, may we be very thankful that that occasion has been detailed for us, so that we are able to naturally, as it were, enter into that great occasion. But we pray, Lord, more than this. We pray we may be able to enter into it in a spiritual sense and recognize the great and glorious work of God on that occasion. And Lord, we are very thankful to know that we come this morning to that same God that did that great work on that occasion. And Lord, thou art still able to do great things. And we pray, Lord, today, as we come to worship, that thou would do great things. Lord, we need thee through the Holy Spirit, as it was, Lord, on that occasion, to apply thy word to our souls. We pray, Lord, we may not just casually while away the time, the service time, but Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may come and graciously possess our hearts and minds, so that we are truly taken up with the vital things of God, the vital things, Lord, that concern our salvation, the vital things that concern thy honour and glory. And so, Lord, do come, do look upon us, young and old, Lord, as we all are before thee with never-dying souls. And Lord, we are constantly reminded of the shortness of life. And Lord, then we must spend eternity in either that place of glory with thee, or that terrible place of hell, the devil, and all the angels with him. Oh Lord, we pray today thou wilt graciously condescend to powerfully speak to our hearts. O Lord, be not silent unto us. Lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like those that go down into the pit. We pray, therefore, we may be rightly affected by thy Holy Spirit, and that we may have cause to remember this day of Pentecost, because we're able to remember thy good hand upon us for good. And so, Lord, do come and bless each one. We pray, Lord, for all the children and young people in this day and age, Lord, having to not mix with others and to be separated largely, and to stay at home. And Lord, perhaps some young ones' education has been brought into difficulties. Perhaps older ones who may be at college or at university may have not been able to finish their course in the normal way. But Lord, we pray that in all these things we may see thy mercy and thy favour and thy blessing. Lord, be with parents and grant them much help in these days when they have to look after all the time their children and to educate them. We pray, Lord, thou wilt help them in these things, and may they know the Lord is with them and blessing them. And so, Lord, we come and we pray for this people that's way to see that we remember them for good. Lord, be with the deacons and encourage them in their work. May they not feel they labor week by week in vain. But Lord, we pray that we bless them and bless the church. May they ever dwell together in love and unity. Lord, we pray there may not be any bitterness springing up to trouble them, but Lord, that they may be found praying one for another and the congregation. And Lord, grant thy rich blessing that many may be moved by thy Spirit to come and tell what thou hast done for their souls. May there be those who have that real work in their hearts and desire to come and say, come and hear all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Oh, we pray, Lord, that everyone may have the evidence of thy work in their souls. Oh, Lord, we pray, therefore, that this little place that's Waversley may truly be a place of rich blessing. We pray, Lord, for all the villagers and those in the surrounding villages that will yet work powerfully and mightily, and grant, Lord, a wonderful, gracious and glorious increase of needy souls. Lord, Lord, we seek that through this plague which we are passing through, Lord, may have a good effect upon many and stir up many hearts to be concerned. Indeed, as those people were on that Pentecostal day, what shall we do? Oh, we pray, Lord, many may therefore be moved by thy Spirit to come and to seek for salvation and find peace in this little church here at Swaversey. Gracious God, then, do work powerfully, if it could be thy holy will. And then we think, Lord, those who are working and have to work for a living and a livelihood, and Lord, these situations we're in, and this lockdown may be having perhaps a devastating effect upon some. Oh Lord, help them strengthen them, enable them to wait upon the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that would appear for them and grant deliverance and grant, Lord, that they may be able to thank God for the provision which thou dost provide. Lord, we know that thou art able to do anything and everything. And so, Lord, we pray that again in this time there may be much prevailing prayer and much evidence of answered prayer. Lord, we pray then for all these things. We pray for the Sunday school, Lord. We're thankful that they're able to continue to hold a Sunday school. We do pray, Lord, for all the children, that thou would bless them. Oh, Lord, bless their young souls. Lord, turn them to thee. Oh, we earnestly pray, while they're young, that they may seek that gracious God and find him. Oh, Lord, have mercy then upon them, we pray. And Lord, we look unto thee for our nation, Lord. Oh, we pray there may be a turning to thee, that our Prime Minister and the Cabinet and the Government may be wonderfully influenced by thy Holy Spirit and acknowledge there is a God in heaven. Oh, Lord, how sad we are that there seems to be no acknowledgement that this plague emanates from the good hand of God. Oh, Lord, we pray that we have mercy upon our government. And Lord, as we see, they continue in their efforts to perpetrate evil laws. Oh, Lord, put to confusion all those who would bring these things to pass. And Lord, may there be the evidence that thy hand is upon us still. And so, Lord, we come to thee now. And Lord, we are so dependent upon the work of thy Holy Spirit. We pray the Lord Jesus Christ may indeed be lifted up, that our hearts may be moved to bow down and to worship him as our Lord and our God. Oh, Lord, come, we pray, and do great things, and accept our thanks for every mercy. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 29. Descend from heaven, celestial dove, with flames of pure seraphic love, our ravished breasts inspire, fountain of joy, blessed paraclete, warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat, and set our souls on fire. Hymn number 29.
Just
Well, may the Lord graciously bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, and we'll read verses 37 and 38. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and reading verses 37 to 38. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, in the history of the world, this is one of the most wonderful days which occurred. And we are thankful to have a record of it through the providence of Almighty God, so that we can today can read about this wonderful occasion. And perhaps you young people just wonder what the day of Pentecost means. Well, you see, when we commence this second chapter, the words tell us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all the one accord in one place. So clearly, Pentecost was something which they kept previously to what occurred on that day. Well, as I understand it, there was a Jewish feast, which was of Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And this was primarily a thanksgiving for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. But it was later associated with a remembrance of the law given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, the church's transformation of the Jewish feast to a Christian festival was thus related to the belief that the gift of the Holy Spirit to the followers of Jesus was the first fruits of a new dispensation that fulfilled and succeeded the old dispensation of the law. So it's, I hope you found that quite helpful to realize, well, that was, there was Pentecost, and Pentecost is continuing, and it continues for us today to remember this wonderful occasion when the Lord graciously came. And as we read together, there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So there were those who were sitting in this house, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, as we read together, then what happened? Now, this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And of course, we we have that very comprehensive list of all those of different principalities and towns who came and heard the word of God. And we're told, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. Well, that hasn't changed, has it? People still today mock the truth of God. They still mock the word of God. They still mock the work of the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, it continues today, perhaps not quite in the same way that it did on this wonderful day. But nonetheless, we're very thankful to know that the Spirit's work continues. We're thankful for the evidence of it. And the great thing is, if you and I have the evidence of it in our own hearts, the great a glorious work of the Holy Spirit. Now, these people, having spoken like that, we then hear that Peter stood up and with the 11 and lifted up his voice and spoke to the people, telling them they weren't drunk as they insinuated they might have been, but to confirm that what has happening was a fulfillment of prophecy. And this ought to be always very encouraging for us when we see and hear and read of the fulfillment of prophecy. And Peter goes back to the prophet Joel. It's a lovely little prophecy, and I hope you all read it, the prophecy of Joel. And he tells us in the 17th verse, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." That was the last days. We're still in the last days. "Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke." And so these words that the God's servant Peter stands up with the 11 and spoke, and then he tells us these great and glorious words in the 21st verse. He says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, there are some wonderful whosoever's in the Word of God, and this is one of them, and we should be very thankful that it is so. And then he addresses the people very specifically, and he says, "Hear these words." Now, you and I need to remember that you and I should hear the words of God. They are so relevant and so important. If we think of that occasion on the Isle of Patmos, when the Apostle John was there on that Lord's Day morning, and the Lord spoke to him a gracious words, and he addressed him and told him what to write to the seven churches. And in each church's case, these words were spoken: "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And so we have a great and glorious statement in the Word of God to encourage us to hear the words of the Lord. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he speaks to them about Jesus of Nazareth. And that's the one, my friends, who you and I need to hear about and need to know about. And we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us with regard to those things which he did, and to have the evidence in our own hearts they were done for us individually. And so he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So he was speaking to them, confirming what they already knew. Because, of course, it wasn't very long after the Lord had been crucified that this occurred. And then he says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye are taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now, we know that physically they didn't all take the Lord Jesus Christ and crucify him physically. But the truth is that the whole church of God, which includes you and me, if we are among the church of God, are those who have, as it were, taken the Savior and crucified him because of our sin, And there have been those times in our lives before we were converted. And I hope there may be the evidence that all of us do come to know the Lord. But in those days when we were not converted, and by attitude, perhaps by our words, indeed by our thoughts, the reaction was, we will not have this man to reign over us. Indeed, we would have said, away with him, away with him. And so how sad and solemn it is to think that we really were amongst those that the apostle is speaking of here. But then he tells us, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he speaks about David and how David acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ was his Lord and that he was the one who would come and that was the one who would rule and reign. And we come down to verse 32 and the Apostle Peter says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Well, it's a glorious truth, and I hope we believe it, that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed exalted, and he is at the right hand of God, wonderfully to intercede for us sinners as we're on the earth, to intercede for us to the Father. Wonderful truth this is. And so here we have this statement, this wonderful truth. And then he comes down and says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So the apostle was speaking very directly to this multitude who'd gathered together. He didn't draw anything back. He quite clearly condemned them for their actions, for their thoughts, for their words, which they had said. And what was the wonderful result? Peter was faithful. No doubt it was hard for him to preach in this way to that great multitude, but the apostle was faithful. And so we read in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What had occurred? The work of the Holy Spirit had convicted them that they were guilty, that they had sinned before a holy God. Pricked in their heart. It wasn't just in their mind. It was their very center of their being. Pricked in their heart. Well, my friends, this morning, as we read these words, can we evidence, have we the evidence that the Holy Spirit has pricked our hearts? The Holy Spirit has moved us to realize that we are guilty, guilty sinners before a holy God. This is the wonderful work of the Spirit of God. It was a wonderful work on this day of Pentecost. It's a wonderful work in each of our lives, when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart, makes us spiritually alive. There we were, apparently dead in trespasses and in sins. No real concern. We may have spoken a few weasel words. We may have pretended that we perhaps a believer. We may have pretended and acted out the life of a Christian. But here we have the evidence of the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. We might say the vital work of the Holy Spirit to every true believer, to find and to know that the Holy Spirit has pricked their heart. That means given them something to really think about, to consider. It's not something which just passes them by. No, it's something which is within them. The heart is the center of us, naturally and also spiritually. And therefore, what a blessing it is if the Holy Spirit pricks our heart, because we need to be made spiritually alive. We need that work of the Holy Spirit, the pricking of it. And bless God on this occasion. There were all those many people, 3,000 or thereabouts, it says, about 3,000 souls who were indeed pricked in their heart. It was a very wonderful occasion. It is a very wonderful occasion when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. And that makes us realize, as these people, that they were sinners and they needed salvation. What were they to do? And they weren't silent. They realized they were in a desperate condition. They had offended a holy God. They were guilty. And the Holy Spirit had pricked them in their hearts. And therefore, what did they say? They came and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" There we are, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, which causes them to be really concerned about their souls. What shall we do? Well, this morning, have you ever come to that kind of condition and said, "What shall we do?" Perhaps it may not have been to people. Perhaps it's been to the Lord God himself. "What shall I do? I'm in a terrible condition. I've offended God by my sins. I've caused the Lord of life and glory to be crucified upon that cross at Calvary. I can't stand back and blame anybody else. I have the personal evidence that my sins caused the Saviour to die, caused the Saviour to agonize, caused the Saviour to shed his most precious blood. It's my sins that have caused that." What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit brings into our hearts conviction. It's the work of God's Spirit to convict us that we are indeed the guilty person. I remember in the case of David, in the history we read of him, how when he committed adultery and murder and thought he'd hidden everything quite nicely and thought there wasn't any problem, until Nathan the prophet came to him and propounded that parable of the ewe lamb. And the parable was very simply that this man had just one single little ewe lamb. The king came and whoever it was came and took that lamb from that man. And when he had plenty himself, he could have used. And David was very angry that such a thing should have been done. And Nathan said unto him, "Thou art the man." Yes, David was convicted of his situation, convicted of his sin. And that's why we're thankful that in the great purpose and providence of God, David was able to record the 51st Psalm, which is very direct and very clear. And of course, David's confession then is, he doesn't look around, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." You see, he couldn't hide any more. And when the Holy Spirit convinces us, when we're pricked in our hearts, we can't hide any more, because we realize Almighty God has known all that we've thought, all that we've said, and all that we've done. And we stand guilty before that great God. And we come and we cry out, "What shall I do?" Well, it's a great blessing when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And my friends, all of us needs to have the gracious evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Let us not just wander on aimlessly through our life, hoping that something will turn up in the end, hoping that something will be all right, and hoping that all our chapel attendance and all the good things that we do will suffice to take us into heaven. Well, they won't. We shall need to come to this very place, like all these people were on this occasion, and say, "What shall we do?" Now, David recognized his need and how he sinned against God. And what did he pray for? He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Well, all of us, of course, need that blessing to be cleansed from our sin. There's only one way of being cleansed. And do you know what that is? That's through and by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he shed upon that cross at Calvary in order to redeem our souls. Well, David was a man of God. The Lord had mercy upon David. The Lord, my friends, can have mercy upon you and me. What a wonderful thing the gospel is. As we read wonderful words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, the question was, what shall we do? And what did Peter say? He gave them very clear words. And Peter said unto him, "Then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." People don't like very often hearing that word of repentance. But my friends, it's the most important word. And you see, if the Holy Spirit has convinced us, has pricked our hearts, like these people were on this day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit directed Peter to instruct them with these words, "Repent." You may remember when the Lord Jesus Christ commenced his ministry, the first word he said was, "Repent." How sometimes we turn away from it. And of course, you and I cannot repent. We can't just pick it up and say, "Well, I repent." Many people just do things like that. But if we have been pricked in our hearts, if the Holy Spirit has shown us what we are and what we've done, what we've said and what we thought, and our sins have been laid out before us, then you see there is a need to repent. And of course, repentance really means to going in an opposite direction changing our course. We've been following perhaps the way of the world, perhaps not necessarily openly. We may have been doing it secretly. God knows our lives. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. And we may have been following the cunning devices of the devil. The devil is a powerful foe, and he knows all about us. He knows about every one of us. He knows what are our weaknesses, and therefore he homes in on those weaknesses. And therefore what a need there is for all of us to hear this gracious word, to repent, to turn and go in an opposite direction. And that means rather than being a follower of the devil, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a complete opposite condition and situation. Well, here were all these people, you see. They've been pricked in their heart. The Holy Spirit had come and moved them wonderfully, wasn't it, to this situation, to make them come and say, what shall we do? And the apostle said, repent. Well, what a mercy it is if the Holy Spirit comes upon us and presents us with a need for repentance, because every convicted sinner needs to repent. There's no unrepentant sinner in heaven. Everyone is given that grace to repent, that grace to confess our sins, to come wholeheartedly to our God, praying that he will indeed look upon us. We may be truly sorry for our sins and to desire to turn from them and to do those things which are right and for the honour and glory of God. Well, these people have clearly been serving themselves. But now, what shall we do, they say. And Peter says, repent. Repent, oh, it's a wonderful blessing if God comes and gives us that spirit of repentance. And which is and when the Lord gives that, you know, it's a repentance which is not to be repented of. It's a true repentance. It's not a false repentance. It's a God-given repentance. And what a blessing it is when God gives it to us, because we find relief in our hearts of being able to come to God just like David did and make a clean breast of everything. What shall we do? Repent. And then he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We sometimes seem to forget the great words of God. And he didn't say, well, now, let's have a look and see who I think should be baptized. He says, and be baptized, every one of you, everyone who has been pricked in their hearts, everyone, no exception. And those who have cried out, what shall we do? Everyone. And those who have been blessed with this grace of God to repent and be baptized, every one of you. You see, people sometimes today think that to be baptized is optional, and they can choose what they want to do. And they say, well, of course, I've never really had a direct word from God with regard to this. Well, we don't need for a word from God, do we? The word of God's very clear. And the problem is people are disobedient. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to listen to God, because they think, well, perhaps if I'm baptized and join the church, then I'm going to be curtailed in some of the things that I want to do. Well, the things that you and I want to do should be to follow the blessed example of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, of course, went about doing good, went about not pleasing himself. So if we are true servants of God, and every born-again believer is a servant of God, don't think that only applies to ministers. it applies to every born again child of God. We are to serve the Lord, and therefore it should be our joy and our privilege when we think of what this glorious Saviour has done for us in redeeming our souls. We who were those who crucified the Lord of life and glory. And the Lord had mercy upon us, and he hasn't cut us off as a cumbrer of the ground, something of no value. He's looked upon us and pricked our heart, moved our spirit to ask, what shall we do? Given us that grace to repent. And then, as the apostle says, and be baptized, every one of you, for your own sake, no, in the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, we do baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in the name of God. What a blessing it is in that Trinity, because, my friends, all the Godhead is in unity in the conversion of the souls of his people. Yes, all Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a great blessing if you and I have the wonderful evidence of the love of God the Father, the love of God the Son, and the love of God the Holy Spirit, two such unworthy sinners of the earth. Well, we are indeed, aren't we? Sinners of the earth. You know what? You know the effect of this was? And this is a good word we read farther on in this same chapter, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. You and I will be glad to know the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. You and I will be humble to know that we haven't been left on the rubbish heap. You and I will be thankful to know the Lord has given us that grace to cry to God, what shall we do? And then to repent of all our sins, of all our rebellion, perhaps against God. And you've said, I will not have this man to reign over me. Anyway, verse 41 tells us, then they that gladly received his word. And it is a joyful occasion, really, to know the Lord has touched our hearts. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They didn't stand back. They didn't think, well, I don't think I'm going to proceed with this. I don't think I need to. You see, they gladly received the word of God. They gladly received the gracious instruction to be baptized, everyone. Yes, we don't read of any standing back. There was that great occasion, and they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And you see, what we have to realize is that when the Lord works in our heart, to begin with, we don't know all the grand and glorious truths of the doctrines contained in the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit teaches us here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And by the blessed Spirit of God, we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I sometimes think, and I'm sure it's true, you know, what stops people being baptized? I'll tell you what it is. Pride. And why is, you may say, well, why do you say that? Well, they want to have some great long testimony to give before the Church of God. They want to say about this blessing and that blessing and the other. That doesn't follow the pattern of Scripture. No, it does not at all. We have gracious words. We have the example of the Philippian jailer. There he was, a jailer, an ungodly man, and the Lord worked powerfully in his heart. The apostle was able to preach the gospel to him, and he was baptized. My friends, let us follow the word of God. Let us not follow men's ideas. Let us not follow men's traditions. Let us follow the blessed word of God and the example of the word of God. And don't forget that Lord Jesus Christ set the pattern for every one of us. He came to John the Baptist, the very beginning, to be baptized. It wasn't the last thing in his life. My friends, may baptism not be the last thing. Let us not put these things off, because there is much pleasure and joy in taking up our cross, as the word of God tells us. Take up our cross daily, every day. You don't just pick it up when you want to. To the true Christian, it's every day. Repent and be baptized, and they that gladly received his word. Well, let's ask ourselves the question, do we gladly receive the word of God? You look into your hearts this morning. Can you find that occasion when you were pricked in your heart and you gladly received the word of God? Because that was the evidence. The Lord hadn't passed you by. There was the evidence, he came to you. Yes, and brought about this great, glorious conviction. Yes, my friends, not always a comfortable position, but it's a good position to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. What a day this was. This day of Pentecost. What a glorious day it was. And what a wonderful occasion for so many people. And you know what the result was? God's name was honored and glorified. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we don't want to be reminded of it. But you know, let us think what Christ has done to redeem our souls. He's paid the utmost price. He's given his life so that you and I might possess life. And that's the great thing, isn't it? To receive the gift of eternal life. The greatest gift you and I can ever receive. The gift of eternal life far, far exceeds every gift of this world. If the whole world was given to us, wouldn't be worth anything when we died. And so may we be blessed indeed with this gift of eternal life. And if the Lord has opened our hearts by this pricking, remember, it's the heart which is affected, and but pricked in their heart. And they cried out, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the wonderful favor of walking with God, communion with God through the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, to have the knowledge that you and I are a new creature because we possess the work of God in our never-dying souls. Well, it's a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. And so on this Lord's Day morning, as we ponder this great truth in the Word of God in this second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, on this great day of Pentecost, oh Lord, may we not just take it as an historical account, but may we have, as it were, a Pentecostal day in our life when the Holy Spirit came, like it, the Holy Spirit did on this occasion, and pricked our hearts. Oh, friends, this morning, let us be able to trace out the work of God in pricking our hearts. And my friends, if you haven't ever had it, pray earnestly to God that you will. It's vital. Your soul is so important. Your natural life is not. Your eternal life is. And so pray mightily to God. You may have the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit pricking your heart and directing you to cry to God, "What shall I do?" And then to hear these words very clear: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that great and glorious Savior, never underestimate the debt that you owe to him for remission of sins. You can never forgive yourself. You can never cleanse yourself. You are utterly reliant upon the blessed finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, my friends, it's only God that can touch our hearts. It's only God who can apply the word. But may it be so for his honor and for his glory. Amen.
Collections received during the past week amounted to £560, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30 and preach again at 6:30. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. And on Tuesday evening, God willing, Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach, as Mr. Pack is still unable. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Christie is expected to preach. Let us now sing hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.